Say something funny.
I got nothing. Nothing. It's gonna be like a serious show.
Say something funny and I'll laugh.
No. This is the show that we do. The very, very special episode of the Two Hosers where we're looking to get an Academy Award.
I'm ready to laugh.
What I'm telling you is that throughout the year, we are side-splittingly hilarious.
Right.
And now we're going to do the serious show just sort of to get some Oscar buzz.
I'm more in the mood for a rom-com.
All right. Well, I'll see what Kate Hudson's up to.
See, there you go. You can't help but be funny.
Hello and welcome to episode 158 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubingen, Germany, and with me as always is...
Adam. That's it. I'm just saying Adam today.
Just flying around in an airplane over top in parts unknown.
I'm like Madonna. You only need one word to explain
like
everything.
Wolfman Jack broadcasting from an airplane circling Mexico so they can't arrest him.
Right.
No?
No, it's not like that at all.
Not a big American Graffiti fan. All right, we can move on.
Okay.
What's going on, Adam?
I don't know. Right now, just woke up, so sorry. Uh-huh. Processing time is a little bit longer. Nothing podcast, just the podcast. I got nothing going on right now.
I'm drinking espresso.
Nice. I wish I was drinking espresso.
I never liked espresso until 2 weeks ago.
I love espresso, but it's one of those things you love and almost never have.
Mm-hmm. We have a machine.
Yeah, no, I do too, but I just never make just the espresso and have that on its own. It's always, you know, put in with whatever the milk or and a little bit of a shot of vanilla and blah, 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 and made into something fancy.
Oh.
Yeah, steam the milk and, you know, the whole routine, right?
Yeah, I stopped doing that routine.
Yeah, just the espresso. I'm good with just the espresso, but then I feel like it's gone too quick.
Yes. So you have a couple more and then, oh, look out.
That's right. And then I'm doing somersaults on the couch.
On the other hand, you know what it's not here in Germany?
What?
Minus 40.
Yeah, that's good. I don't think it's like that everywhere else now, is it?
I don't know.
I think that
stopped listening.
I think that kind of was just for a few days. I think it's come back down to I wouldn't say normal, but down to just cold instead of like, oh my God, don't go outside or you might lose something cold.
When it was minus 40-ish, whatever that came out to be, because at one point they stopped giving out the Fahrenheit and the Celsius because they crossed over.
Right.
But when it was like minus 40, it was plus 12 and plus 13 here.
Yeah.
So it was like spring day.
Yeah, we had it pretty good in Vancouver, too, so I don't want to brag or anything, but...
I didn't do the weather. It wasn't up to me.
Yeah, it would. No, but everybody here was like, wow, it kind of sucks to be living anywhere else in Canada right now.
Yes.
That was kind of the mood of Vancouver, so just if anyone, you know, didn't hate Vancouver and they live somewhere else in Canada, they probably do now.
Let me put a positive spin on this, if I can.
Okay.
The one real downside to having a warm winter, there's probably a bunch of downsides, but the one that I think is the worst, now I'm not a scientist, so I may just be making this up, but if it doesn't get really cold, I don't think all the mosquitoes die.
I see.
And then in the summer, it's just like Winnipeg.
Right. But yeah, that would blow.
Yeah, so maybe in Winnipeg this year, you had those 3 days of no fun, no mosquitoes this year at all.
Great. You know, I think the mountains in Vancouver would be thrilled if they got a little bit of snow. So there is that side to it, too.
Okay.
Yeah. So ski season is kind of not a thing right now out here.
Yeah.
I think in Whistler it's probably okay, but the local mountains are getting hammered.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
So wait till the Olympics next month in the sun.
Yes.
That's going to be good times.
Yeah.
One of our listeners just had a baby boy.
Okay.
I'm not saying any names, so this is really just going out to him. I'm sure he has nothing but time to listen now. It's his first kid.
Okay.
And so, you know, when you have your first kid, when you had Sarah, you didn't have time for podcasts.
No.
Plus, they didn't exist then.
Yeah, I probably did. I probably would have loved to have the podcast escape, but yeah, it wasn't a thing.
Yeah. So anyway, congratulations. Go out. If you just could give
to,
one
to nobody, you see, you're congratulating someone without identifying who they are. Maybe more than one of our listeners has had a baby.
Congratulations to all of you.
Yeah, maybe there's like four of them.
It's a hell of a party.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, with that, I wanted to ask you if you could give out one piece of parenting advice for people with their first baby, like the newborns, what would it be?
Wow. You just kind of caught me off guard. It's been a long time for me. I don't know. I'm a little bit removed. Be present. How about that?
Be present. That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Biggest thing for us was, you know, when I got home from work, it was literally, here's a crying child with my wife with her arms outstretched, and it's like, your turn, deal with it. And I'm going out to the casino, or I'm going out to the bar. No, it wasn't like that, but it was, yeah, here, take the kids so that I can have I don't know, 20 minutes of time to cry into a pillow.
Right. And you were at work just sleeping all day.
Yeah. No, but it's different. I agree completely with her in that, wow, the crying baby thing,
yes,
especially in the early going, was not fun. And work was absolutely a break from the crying.
The beginning of the day, the first couple hours of work, that's what I'm thinking, like, this is awesome. Yeah. And then after a while, at the end of the day, you're done. You really want to go home and just honestly use that solitary confinement cell that I talked about building,
right,
many episodes ago. You really just, you want that for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you are handed the crying kid, like, here you go, buddy.
Yeah. And yeah. And I mean, Sarah was, in fact, like a crying machine. Like, she was, like, for the first, whatever it is, 4 or 5 months, she was just a crying machine. Like, put a quarter in and it would cry for 6 hours. But Jack was not. So I guess it kind of depends. Like, mm-hmm. he was pretty much the complete opposite of that. Like, didn't really cry almost at all as a baby. So our first introduction to it was very different. And then we kind of expected, oh, this is just what happens. And then when we didn't get that, I think if it was done the other way, wow, would we have been in shock? Like, if
that would have been awful.
Yeah. So I think if anything, we're just, wow, okay, this one doesn't cry a lot. This is easy.
That's wonderful. Yeah. This isn't the Christmas episode we're doing. So
yeah.
My only advice I always give to people is do not be quiet when your kid naps.
Okay.
The instinct is be super quiet and let your kid, no, marching bands and, you know, bring the garbage cans in and play them as a drum set when your kid naps.
All right.
It's awful for the first two naps. You pay the price, but after that, you are golden. So there you go.
Great. Is this a photography show now?
Not anymore.
Yeah. We really derailed. Oh, sorry. We had a kids interrupting. Okay, now it's all photography all the time.
It is. It's going to be an intense. You're going to walk away. If you listen to this whole episode, you're going to walk away with a seriously good photo. That's what I'm telling you.
And you know what you should do is in the little write-up, just start at minute 8 or whatever. Start right now. Start listening right now.
I'm going to put that in there. Yeah.
Please fast forward to minute whatever, 8
yeah,
or 11.
Yeah, I think minute 8 is a little ambitious.
Okay, minute 14.
yeah. Part 2. Just start with part 2 of the show. Yeah. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I took a couple of pictures at the park one day last weekend because we had some blue skies, and that's it. I didn't take the camera out again, so I didn't post anything, haven't processed them or anything, so I had a pretty boring photography week.
All right.
Yeah, sorry about that. How about you?
What did I do that was interesting? Yeah, it's some regular stuff, but I took baseball portraits for my team. Well, no, like when I did them before, I took a few of the guys, but didn't do the whole team. Mm-hmm. And so sort of in the off season here, I've kind of pitched them the idea that they should redo their whole website. And as part of that being is everybody on all five teams under the one umbrella. Mm-hmm. And so I said, you know, everybody has to have their portrait on there, like their baseball card kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But on the webpage, and that looks pro and all this stuff. So I said, and I volunteered to go shoot those. And so we started doing that. And okay. So the upside is we got to shoot in, the team practices, in this giant, like, basketball, stadium, for lack of a better word. You don't call it basketball stadium, do you?
Arena? No, it's not really an arena. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Not a stadium. I wouldn't call it a stadium.
It's an arena.
Okay.
And so, yeah.
Coliseum. They have
yeah, something like that. I know. It's much smaller. It's more of the Agrodome than anything.
Yeah.
But it doesn't smell like cows.
Okay.
And so anyways, yeah, they practice this brand new facility here the last couple of years where the Tubingen Tigers basketball team plays. They have pro basketball here in Germany too. And so they work out there. And so the great news is you have tons of room to work in.
Mm-hmm.
The downside is there's no really good backgrounds and not everybody was there on the same day. And so if I'm going to make a consistent background for everybody, that's difficult to do because I might end up shooting the rest of them in, you know, April sometime outside.
Right.
And so there's no way I could duplicate that. So we rolled out one of the giant gym mats, the big blue gym mats.
Yeah.
And used that as a background. I just lit that and green screened it, except for this time was blue.
Perfect.
Perfect-ish.
Well, if you want to replicate with people that aren't there, I think that was a really good idea.
It was the best move, but it's not. There's still going to be a little bit of work involved. Like I'm more interested in just shooting and handing it off. Here you go, mm-hmm. Print this.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a little Photoshop work. It's not clear that whether I have to do that or not. I think someone else. There's a graphics designer who's going to do that.
Okay. Well, that would be nice.
Be nice, assuming he's going to do a good job.
Right.
So, which he probably is. I don't know the guy. Never met him. Never seen his stuff. So there you go. So anyway, that's what I did, a lot of blue screens. So there you go.
Okay.
Photo challenge this week.
Mm-hmm.
From last week. We did forced perspective.
Right.
And if you want to listen to that show, that's last week. But let's get into these challenge photos.
Okay.
I think you should go first because I, in essence, copied you.
Yeah, it's not a surprise.
No, that's true. I sort of copied you.
Well.
So let's look at yours. What do you got going on here?
Got Don Komarechka's book, so I thought I would pay a tribute to that. So it came in the mail the other day, and I was impressed not only by the pictures and the quality, but by the sheer size of this book. It is it is massive. It is like a textbook. So I just thought I'd kind of do a little bit of a play, having just talked about forced perspective. I thought, wow, this is a really thick a book, a pretty impressive body of work. I mean, mm-hmm. My understanding talking to Don was that it was just going to be more of like, you know, a book with a lot of pictures of snowflakes, which it is, except for there is a ton of other content and the science behind everything. And I was just amazed at how much work he must have put into this. And I think it could very easily sit in a library, and kids who do their science projects on snowflakes would have an all-in-one tool here. So anyway, so looking at the size of it, I thought, okay, I'll make a little joke on that, and I'll make this me peeking out from behind the book and just show the sheer massive size of this book. So that's what I did.
Done.
So I, you know, in terms of creating the forced perspective look, I set the camera down on the GorillaPod just off the floor and put the book really close to the camera. And this is mm-hmm. done in my living room, so I don't have a ton of space. So in order to make the book look very large, I had to get back as far back as I could away from the book and try to align it so that I was going to look like I was peeking above, except for nobody else was around to help me line this up, so I had to do it by trial and error and just running back to a spot and then just trying to think of where am I going to show up. So I did it a few times. I don't know. It took me 7 or 8 tries, and I lit it with 2 lights because of the distance between, and I wanted to have kind of a black background. I wanted it to be about the book and then just, you know, me peeking over it. So in order to do that in my living room, I had to snoot the flash that was going to light the book just to keep it there. And then I had to use the softbox with the grid trying to keep as much light away from the background and just basically light me. So it's done with 2 lights. And then, yeah, just on the timer, I did the run-in. So that's it.
Nice. The run-in is a tough... That's tough sledding when you're doing the forced perspective.
Yeah, and I did it with the... like on an F22, because we talked about, I mean, obviously I'm trying to keep as best I can everything in focus, but because the book is really close to the camera, mm-hmm. it's pretty hard to do that. I wish I had another 50 meters. This would have been an easier shot, but it was pouring outside and I was not going to do an outside picture. And like I said, I was home alone, so I didn't really have another person who was going to be able to hold the camera and line this one up for me. So I played the hand that I was dealt here.
There you go, Don. And you got Don's name in the shot
that,
as well.
That was the thing, is I took a few and I really wanted to get the floor in, and I thought it sort of sold the illusion, and also I wanted to be able to get that bottom corner of the book mm-hmm. in. So there.
Which I did not when I shot mine. Now I went and shot a different photo, and then when I got back from shooting that photo, Don's book was sitting waiting for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though I'd sent you the other one I took, I decided, I saw yours and thought, you know what, that's a great idea. Let's say thanks to Don for sending his book.
Mm-hmm.
So I took one very, very similar.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
And so there you go. So there's me reading Don's massive book and my daughter not really participating.
Right.
Somewhat. She's in the mode I like to call not participating in things.
But this is kind of what it's like when you're trying to read a book to a child. So it works for me.
That's a good point. That's a good point. And with her, it's a different book every night.
Right.
No, it's not. we're reading Olivia Claus twice a day.
Nice.
Yeah, it's January now, kid. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Yeah, is there something else we could just read? I don't know. What do you read in January? But anyway, so this is us. Yeah, and so I got this all set up, tripod, mostly available light. I did add an umbrella, just a little fill on, like a little bit of light on my daughter and I.
Right.
Which you can see the reflection in the pictures behind us.
Yeah.
I was going to, sort of move that around, and then I realized, hey, I don't care. So I didn't.
Right.
So we left that, and then, got that lined up and had my wife push the shutter, because I couldn't do the run-in with my daughter and get my hands in the right spot as if I was actually holding the book.
Yeah, no, that was the part where I couldn't do that sort of move, because it would have taken me 400 tries. So
yes,
yeah, but that's I like it. I like it. The only thing that I wish you had done was take the pictures off the wall. That's it.
Yeah. I thought about that, and then I don't know. I just didn't bother.
Yeah.
There you go.
Because I really do like the picture, regardless of what book you're holding. And maybe you do this one time with your kid's favorite book, or maybe your kid's favorite book will be Sky Crystals by Don Komarechka. But whatever. If with her favorite book, I think it would kind of be a cool photo without the photo stabbing you in the brain.
True.
Yeah.
That's a good point. That's the forced perspective. That was an added level of forced perspective.
double forced
perspective. I wanted you to think that but when her aunt when Emily's aunt Lily Tomlin comes over, we will shoot that photo.
Perfect.
And there was something else I was going to add to that, to do with what you said. F22. I also shot F22.
Yeah.
On the 50mm.
On the 50mm, just because that's as far as you can push the aperture.
Yes, and I also made the artistic decision to be in focus.
Right.
So that's where I took your idea and ran with it.
Yeah.
I had a little more distance to work with, so I didn't have to have the book as close to the camera as you were forced to do by your geography.
Right. And so therefore, you get the it in focus better.
It was still hard to do. It took me a couple tries of just shooting a couple of test shots with just my daughter in it, and I basically did the focusing one third past the book, a third of the way past the book to the chair we're sitting in. That's where the focal point was.
So. Nice. Yeah, and that's basically what I did as well. I went a third past, just kind of focused on, I put something on the floor and focused there and just thought, okay, that's probably the best that I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm. And I did not get Don's name in it, though, so mine's more of a subtle hint to
mm-hmm.
Don.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Right. Anyway, thanks a lot, Don, for sending your book to us. They're great. So I haven't had a chance to go into great depth on it yet.
Nor have I.
It's the kind of book, though, it's such a good book. Like a good looking book, it's the kind of book that I'm going to read in the bathroom, but I'm not going to leave it in the bathroom.
Right.
There you go, Don.
Okay.
Okay, moving on.
Moving on. As a photography, just sort of side point,
yeah.
And this is, you know, not to poo-poo the last episode and a half we've done, I'm not sure that I'm really going to do forced perspective more than maybe once every 10 years. It just, it to me, I mean, as much as, you know, this is kind of a fun little thing to do for a photo challenge, I don't see it as being a part of my my photography arsenal on a regular basis, so...
No. It has its time where it's fun, you know, like your daughter might like a picture someday.
Yeah.
But you're right, in the once every 10 years.
Yeah.
But it was something that had come up with, it has other applications besides what we're doing right here. But again, it's really is, you're absolutely right. It's kind of a niche thing. It's like doing shaped bokeh, you know, how often are you really going to do that? But every once in a while, it might be kind of cool.
Right. Okay.
You know? That's the kind of thing.
I'm fine with that.
We're offering you 100% money back guarantee.
Okay.
To last week's episode.
Yeah, and the first 14 minutes of this week's.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. This week's topic, though, this one, I think people are going to like this start to finish. Now, this is going to involve a whole bunch of segments that we've talked about in the past, but brought all together into one solid example of what you can do for almost no money.
Okay.
And that's, so we got this one is a non-listener question. That's always nice to get when a non-listener sends in a question, but it's a friend of ours. You know him.
Okay.
He's a lawyer. You've been to the office.
Mm-hmm.
And so long story short, he wants to photograph a bunch of people in his office for some art project thing. And he wants to copy a photographer named Martin Schuller. Schuller. I think it's Schuller. I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm sure it's an umlaut O.
Okay.
So no idea, huh?
Mm-mm.
Martin Schuller. Schuller. Sorry.
Okay.
Anyway, he's known for, I guess, what they call these hyper-real portraits. Now, I had seen his work before, had no clue that was his name. I'd never heard his name until our friend sent us this question.
Right.
Basically, I won't read the question, but the general question was, hey, how do I do this with my coworkers?
Right.
I want to take pictures that look like this. Now, I have a D7000, good camera. I got a prime lens. He has the 35 millimeter f1.8.
Mm-hmm.
And he has the $100 external flash that he mounts on the camera. And it can bounce into the ceiling. That's it. It's the cheap Nikon that basically you can flip up. You can't flip it right or left. It just goes up into the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants to know, using that equipment, how can he achieve this effect?
Right.
Answer being,
well, you're not asking me, are you?
I'm asking you, how do you achieve this effect?
I don't think you can achieve this exact effect, but here's the thing. Didn't we talk about this when Dwayne was on the show? Like, when I went to that workshop that Dwayne Gervin, friend of the show, put on, he did this exact photo, and we talked about it. I thought maybe when he was on once, or did you remember that? Or a photo challenge that he had put up for one of the episodes he was on was this exact effect. Do you remember that?
I do. Well, pretty much this effect, yeah.
No, it's exactly this. I went back and looked at the picture, like the effect in the eyes, the lighting. It's exactly this. It's basically, you can't do it with the equipment that our friend is talking about.
That's what I'm saying.
But this can be achieved without a huge expenditure.
This can be achieved without a huge expenditure. Now, his question was, how can I do this basically tomorrow at the office with what I have?
Yeah, and then your basically workup as well, you can do something similar.
Yes. So my idea was, now I thought about the Dwayne and what Dwayne did with the fluorescent tubes.
Right. And maybe we just put a link to that.
I think we should do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's a totally different thing. Yeah. It's the fluorescent tubes, right? Done on two stands, two separate lights, and you shoot between them.
Yeah. You can absolutely do this and it'll look great and all that. But our friend is not going to do that. And quite honestly, this week, most of our listeners aren't going to go out and build this rig.
Probably not.
So my advice was, well, in your office, our friend there,
our other friend, the lawyer friend.
Yeah, what should we call him?
Kay.
That's his first initial. His name is Newt.
Special K.
Okay, so K.
Okay.
His name's Ken. I'm just going to call him Ken because that's his name.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, we're going to go ahead and Google Ken, lawyer, and see what you come up with. Okay? Track him down.
All right.
Anyway, so Ken, he wants to do this, and I said, listen, Ken, you ain't gonna do it, but you know what you do have in your office? He's in a Vancouver office. They have
he's gonna sue you now. Now they're gonna be able to track him for sure. He's suing you. Don't sue me, Ken.
Four floor to ceiling windows.
Okay.
Which if you go to downtown Vancouver, most buildings have that. It's pretty awesome.
Right.
So now you have these amazing windows. Use window light.
Okay.
That's my recommendation, is leave the flash in the drawer.
Okay.
And just use window light.
Window light and
a little bit of pixie dust.
Oh, I was going to say maybe some bounce.
I don't need it, I don't think.
No?
Nope.
To get the effect that we're looking at on the Brad Pitt picture?
Well, first of all, you're not going to get the effect that you get on the Brad Pitt picture because he's Brad Pitt.
That's true. That is
an issue.
Point. Yeah, that's a good point. We're talking about the light now.
Yeah. You're going to get something reasonable. Like, and I'm sure you could add bounce, maybe a bounce underneath the face or something like that. But honestly, I don't think that's the deciding factor here.
Okay.
I think most of what you would achieve would be in post. Like if you, now I snapped a simple photo using the technique that we're going to describe right now of myself.
Okay.
By no means am I comparing. I mean, like, I think it takes an awful lot of courage for me to put up there against Brad Pitt.
But you make that comparison all the time. You basically make I'm like Brad Pitt comparison all the time.
Yeah, not visually. I meant like sort of in the, hey, aren't we both cool? You know?
Oh, okay.
And we both dated Jennifer Aniston for a good portion of our life.
Ken's suing you for that now.
Yeah.
Jennifer Aniston just hired Ken and now you're being sued.
Exactly. Okay. Right. So anyways, so let's talk about how to achieve this general idea. Now, first step, find a window you can use. Now, we've talked about window light in the past, but this is where we start. Find a window that you can use.
Okay.
If it's bigger the better, first of all. Get the biggest window you can.
Okay.
If it's a cloudy day, you are good pretty much anywhere in the house, wherever
right.
it is.
Right.
If it's sunny and the sun's low and busting in your window, well, you don't want that direct sunlight. We want nice, even wash.
Right.
So find a window that faces north.
Okay.
Unless you're in Australia. And then go to the beach. What are you doing taking pictures? It's awesome.
Right, right.
It's summertime. Go enjoy it. Don't get eaten by a shark or stung by a jellyfish, though.
Okay.
That's just good advice.
Yeah. Watch out for the coral. The coral.
Don't touch the coral. Do not touch the coral. You're not allowed to bring any of it up. No souvenirs of the Great Barrier Reef. Did you know that?
Now I do.
You get in big, big trouble if you take souvenirs of the Great Barrier Reef.
Okay.
Anyway, so find a north facing window, because what that's going to do if you're in the Northern Hemisphere is you're still going to get an awful lot of light. Now, most of these cameras handle lower ISOs relatively well. So if it's pretty dark, you're going to get good results at ISO 400, believe it or not.
Okay.
So, but you're probably not going to end up going that high in the ISO. So you got your nice subdued light coming in, and that's going to create like a nice even wash on your subject.
Okay.
On top of that, it's going to be nice and strong near the window, and it's going to fall off as we get into the room. So it's going to be able to, we're going to be able to control how much we see.
Great.
Step two. There's like 10 steps here.
Okay. Step two.
Step two. Use a tripod.
And why?
If you have one. If you don't have one, don't rush out and buy one. But it will make your life wildly easier in this case.
And why?
Because we're going to take something with a relatively tiny, minute depth of field. And so in order to basically hold focus, it's going to just make your life so much easier.
Okay.
If you don't have a tripod...
What if the person moves slightly?
They're going to. But... Have you ever tried to shoot a deer from a dune buggy?
No.
There you go. There's a reason for that, because it's just really hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I always make the deer stand still.
I don't have a dune buggy either, so.
Well, you're letting the best things in life just pass you by.
Okay.
So there you go. If you don't have one, you'll get by without it.
Okay.
Better to have one. Now, step three. You set up as close to the window as you can possibly get.
Okay.
And this means your back is up against the window. You're going to be leaning against that window because you want to get the most of the light that you can possibly get.
Right.
So get up there. Step four, set the camera at the eye level of your subject. Okay?
Okay.
In portrait orientation for what we're doing here. That's what we're going to do. So turn it on so it's up and down.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Turn the camera on its side. And set it for approximately eye level. That's step four.
Okay.
Step five, use a prime lens.
And reason being?
Reason you tell me.
Well, no, I'm just wondering for our listeners, because if they don't have one, should they be running out to get one?
They should have one anyways. Yes, I absolutely, not just for this photo. If you don't have a prime lens, get a prime lens.
Okay.
That is some solid advice. If you don't have a prime lens, buy a 50 millimeter prime, whether you use Nikon or Canon.
And the reason being is if you put, my guess as to what you're thinking is if you put like the 70 to 200 on, then you're going to have to move your subject further away from the window, thereby mm-hmm. losing some of that light intensity that you're after.
Light intensity is one part of it. The other part of it is the style of this photo is to sort of be up in the subject's face.
But you can make it look like that by just zooming in.
It doesn't really, there's a different feeling. There's a different feeling of taking a 50 millimeter, taking the shot with a 50 millimeter lens up close.
Right.
Then backing off and zooming in. It creates a very different effect.
Okay. Can
be more flattering, but in this case, I don't think he uses a telephoto lens. I think he gets up really close. Now, I think Mr. Schuler uses probably a large format camera, which changes the game entirely.
Okay.
And we're not going to use that. We're going to use our DSLRs.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, what we want to do, we want to be able to open up our aperture really, really wide.
Okay.
To an f1.8 or f1.4 if we can. And you're not going to do that with a zoom lens.
Okay.
I think, as far as I know, the widest a zoom lens that you can buy is 2.8, and those are expensive.
Really expensive.
Very expensive. So go out and buy yourself a 50 millimeter lens. Even if you're on a crop sensor, that's great. So buy yourself a 50 millimeter lens.
Okay.
The only thing to look out for is on certain cheap Nikon cameras, autofocus won't work with the cheap 50 millimeter.
Right.
So I'm going to close my door because my screaming kid just showed up. Hang on. And we're back.
Great.
So we got the zoom lens. It opens all the way up. That's why we want to use that. Or, sorry, a prime lens.
Right.
Opens all the way up. Okay? So I think in no matter which camera you're using, 50 millimeters is probably going to best replicate this effect.
Okay.
Okay? It's not the most flattering, because generally what you were talking about with doing with the zoom lens with the 70 to 200 is compressing the features.
Right.
Now, with this case, we're using a little wider lens. We're up close. It will cause a little bit of distortion. Okay. That seems to be the technique on this.
Okay. So, well, that makes sense. That's why your head looks so weird.
It does look a little bit weird. Oh. It does look a little bit weird. And also, I didn't take it. I would pay a slightly closer attention to a couple of things, which we'll talk about in 6 through 10.
Okay.
So number 6, we're going to set up our aperture now. Now we have we've got a prime lens on. We've got it at eye level. Next thing, set your aperture. Now, okay. We want this wide open. So go to 1.4, or if your lens only goes to 1.8, do 1.8. All the way open.
Okay.
Okay. Set your ISO to 100 or 200 if it only goes to 200. I forget which Nikons do that.
What step are we on now?
This is number 6.
Okay.
Do you want me to just combine a bunch of these?
No, I want to hear the number. Step.
Step 6 is aperture open up to 1.4, 1.8.
Okay.
ISO to 100 or 200.
Okay.
Okay. Next, you're going to position your subject. Now, we don't have our exposure dialed in yet. There's still one piece missing, but that will come when we have our subject in place.
This is step 7.
But step 7 is position your subject.
Right. You just said next. You didn't say step 7.
Right.
Okay.
Next, step 7, we position our subject. Now, yes. Now, don't bring them too close to the camera.
Right.
Okay? So if they're too close, like if you crank the manual focus all the way to the closest it'll focus, you can bring your subject in really, really close.
Right.
That will be too much distortion.
Okay.
Meaning their nose will be so close to the lens and their ear so far away that their face will look kind of goofy.
Okay. Don't do that.
Do not do that.
What if they have a tiny, tiny nose and you want to make them look like they have an average-sized nose?
That was last week's episode, Force Perspective.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, which you didn't quite like.
No, I didn't.
So, you want to back them off kind of to taste. This is hard to say. It's like, how much salt do you add to something? You know, it's kind of up to you. So figure out how far back you want them to go.
Okay.
Now, remember, at f1.4, their nose and ears might not be in focus anyways.
Right.
So that's something to consider. Okay. So what I tend to do is back them off a little bit and give myself a little bit of room to crop in post.
Okay.
Not too much. I don't like to just phone it in. You know, I like to get it set the best I can, but I like to have a little extra room so I can decide exactly how I want it cropped later. And I also position them so that I hopefully have like the deep part of the room behind them so that the light falls off to pretty much to nothing. And that way I can really separate them from the background.
Okay.
Next, step 8 for you keeping track at home.
Yep.
Now it's time to determine the exposure. Okay, we've set the aperture, we've set the ISO, we have to figure out shutter speed. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
How would you go about this? How would you meter for something like this?
Spot meter?
Yes. That's like you read the notes I didn't do.
Right.
Absolutely. I use spot meter in this case. And I decide where the skin tones will be placed. Now, we talked about that on an episode probably a year ago about how to place your tones. I look at the skin tones and decide, okay, where do I want that to fall on the meter?
Right.
Now, for someone like myself, my skin tone is generally at about plus 2/3 of a stop over zero. Probably, I would say with you, probably the same. Some people who are a little bit lighter skinned would maybe be plus 1. People with darker skin could be all the way down to 0. Okay. That's going to be, you have to determine that on your own.
Okay.
But that's what I use. I use the spot meter to determine the corresponding shutter speed. And in this case, in subdued light, with all the other settings, it's generally going to be the inverse of the ISO. Kind of like the Sunny 16, except this is the subdued light f1.4. Not as catchy a phrase, though.
Right.
So now that's not written in stone. It's just going to be generally around there is what I have found. It might be up or down, might be double, might be half, who knows. Step 9.
Okay.
We're almost there.
All right.
Set your white balance. Okay. Do you want to use a gray card maybe? Maybe you just want to use a cloudy preset. Maybe it's the sunny preset. It's hard to say depending on your conditions, but be aware of your white balance.
And then gray card.
If you have a gray card, great. I would absolutely use a gray card.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it. Like, that's the greatest thing. But if you don't have one, then you're going to have to kind of wing it.
Right.
Do your best. Okay? I lied. There's 11. No, 11.
There's 14, isn't
there's
there?
There's 10 stops. There's 10. There's 10 All points.
Right. Let's number hear 10. Number 10. The grand finale.
This one is, I saved it for last because it's the last step and it's critical. This one is highly critical and this is why we need the tripod.
You're building it up too much.
Number 10 is focus on your subject. Okay.
Oh, what a letdown.
Yeah. Well, wait till you try to do it and it's out of focus.
Okay.
This is absolutely critical. At wide open, when you're at 1.4,
yes,
and your subject is this close to your camera, your depth of field is going to be slightly north of zero.
Okay.
It really is going to fall off. The ears are going to be out of focus. The hair will be out of focus. But you want the eyes to be sharp.
Yes.
This is what we want. So even in this case, you have to be very, you have to consider the fact that both eyes should be the same distance from the camera.
Right.
If your subject is turned slightly, you're going to get one eye soft. So these images that we're doing are straight on, nose in the center, keep the eyes equidistant from the on the focal plane.
Okay.
So now to focus. What would you do? What would your move be to focus here?
I would probably, if I had the camera on a tripod and mm-hmm. I could control everything, rather than doing kind of, normally I would take this picture, just focus and recompose if I was holding the camera and I'd focus mm-hmm. on an eye. But in the case of a tripod, I would just slide it over 3 inches, focus on the one eye with my center point, just because that's the most accurate point on my particular camera, and slide it back. Some people might just move the focus point over till it's sitting over an eye, focus there, and then take the picture.
Okay. Now, focus recompose will not likely work in this situation.
Just too much of a margin for error, right?
There is too much margin. The arc of what you're doing is too great compared to the distance you are from the camera. Now, that's just a bunch of math, not even really, really good math. That's just me trying to dumb it down and making it even more confusing. Just trust me that it won't be very effective in this point.
Right.
So
would you do the move the focus point over?
No, I would not do that either. I would go over to full manual focus.
Right, okay.
100% manual focus, and ideally you're going to have live view, because most cameras, you know, nowadays have the live view. The one camera that I would like to shoot this with does not. My 5D Classic I would have shot with, because I just like it for this kind of photo. It does not have live view, and thus it makes it very difficult. So what I do is I flip it over to live view. I then zoom in. I'll do a digital zoom in all the way, which you have to look on your manual how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the digital zoom shows is only on the LCD screen. It doesn't affect your final image. All it does is let you zoom into a certain point and get critical focus bang on to that point. So what I then do is I use the little joystick on the back of my camera. You have to figure out how it works on yours. You can move your center, wherever you zoom into, you move your zoom point around the LCD screen.
Right.
So I move it to one of the eyes, zoom in all the way, get critical focus using the focus ring on the barrel of the camera, and then simply snap the photo at that point. And okay. That's why you want the tripod, because now what ends up happening is your subject will move a little bit. That's going to happen. So you're going to want to check focus every couple of photos just to make sure that even if they move a couple of millimeters or tilt their head or whatever, you're going to be out. But in order to really recreate this effect, you have to get this narrow. That's it.
Now, if you have one of these new cameras that, you know, has 800 focus points, like the 5D Mark III, and they're all cross sensor type, you know, like, wouldn't it just be a heck of a lot easier just to move over one of those points to the eye?
If you're on a tripod?
Yeah, well, wouldn't matter, tripod or no tripod. Why would it matter?
Well, if you're on a tripod, I think you're going to get better results doing it manually on live zoom. It's just not that difficult. Once you get used to using live view, in this case, it is really, really simple to do. And in a pinch, I would trust it versus the autofocus.
Right.
On the other hand, if I do not have a tripod, in this case, live view is essentially useless, because you're not going to be able to hold it still. You're going to be out a couple of millimeters, and that's going to be enough to throw off your focus.
Okay.
So in that case, yes, then you would move one of the focus points over. But I would still, other than that, if you have a tripod, go with the manual focus.
Okay.
That's my recommendation. Now, there are a couple tips to pay attention to. Now, pay attention to camera position. I said place it the center of the focal of the image at eye level. If you're a couple of millimeters down, you're going to get a really different effect. If you're a couple of mils down, looking up, the jaw is going to appear, like the lower half of the face will appear slightly larger than the top half.
Right.
Which I think is the case in my sample photo that I snapped. If you're, and again, if you're too high looking down, the opposite will be true. You have a giant forehead. So you have to be very careful about that. Now, you also have to be very careful and pay attention to the subject's head position. Are they right up and down? Are they tilted forward a little bit? Are they tilted back? That's going to play into how your picture is comes out as well. So pay attention to that. Basically, you want to use Dwayne's move. Well, it's not Dwayne's, but he's the one who told us about it, to basically do the Egyptian thing and stick your head, your face forward,
mm-hmm.
forehead out. That's a good move, and it gives you a nice little chin line, as you can see, because you know Brad Pitt needs all the help he can get.
Right.
So there's that. Now, the thing that we didn't talk about is backgrounds. Now, I didn't pay any attention to the background for mine, because it was just a quick sample to show our friend Ken what he could do. You know, what he could achieve. Now, he wanted the white background, so he's going to essentially, they're going to bring a white background in when he shoots these.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's fairly simple to do, especially for someone like yourself who actually has a white background.
Right.
So that's very simple. Now, there's a lot of other things you can do. You can figure those out on your own. But what I'm saying is, remember, the further back your background is from your subject, the darker it will be. So if you want it to be very, very bright and not have to light it, bring it in very close to your subject.
It's good advice.
Good. That's it. And the one thing I like about this, and one thing without having to set up lights or anything like this, you get very nice catch lights from the window light.
Yes.
And that's kind of really, that's one of the things that is really, really intriguing about you know, what did I say, Martin Scholler, his photos is the catchlight in the eyes really draws you in. Some of them are distracting. If you look at Christopher Walken, his are kind of distracting, but a lot of them are really, really grab hold of you. So there you go. Next week's challenge is going to be take one of these photos.
Great.
There you go.
I'm just going to get one of these rigs with all the halogen lights and.
Well, I'm just going to use one of Martin Scholler's.
Yeah.
Just going to mail it in. Yeah. No, I met Clooney. Yeah. Yeah, me and De Niro were hanging, and here's a photo I snapped in front of my window.
Right.
No.
So the idea is to do this as simply as possible.
As we discussed, use the window method.
Okay.
Yes. No, if you can go ahead and build one of these.
No, I just meant rigs. Like, you know, if I were to employ a whole bunch of other tactics, you know, whether it be bounce or whatever, that's still on side with the challenge.
Absolutely. You use a window and run with it. How's that sound?
All right.
I'm going to use just a window light because I'm going to try to replicate whatever setup our listeners are using.
Right. I am too. I will make sure I only use stuff that people would have.
Right. That's what we're trying to make this accessible. So,
okay.
There you go. And if you are going to buy window light, buy it on Amazon.
Yeah.
Through our site.
Yeah,
that's right. What I would do. So, Adam, where can people find your photos?
When I post them on the Two Hosers Facebook, again, kind of slacked off this week and didn't take any photos, so didn't really have anything to post, although I will take some this weekend. I'm gonna commit to that. And also,
what do you got this weekend? You got stuff going on?
Well, we're going to go to a Canucks team, closed team practice. We got some tickets from friends that are season ticket holders, and there's a closed team practice. So I'm hoping I'll get something neat of the kids there at the practice.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I'm going to do that. And then my wife has been, again, blogging, so I think she put up another one last night. You probably haven't even seen it yet.
Maybe not.
So there you go. So schwartzchronicles.com, some of my photos show up from time to time.
Is that the blog post where Jack scores a goal?
No, she did that one a week ago. So she did she was doing a new one last night. So I'm not sure. I think it might be New Year's. I think it might be New Year's she did last.
Okay.
Yeah.
You didn't explain it at the top of the show when Jack, because Jack did not paint the word picture.
No.
Jack scored his first goal in his first ever game.
Yeah, so he was pretty excited about it. And one of the coaches grabbed the puck, mm-hmm. and then put a piece of tape around it, and you know, wrote first goal and the date and everything. So I thought that was super cute. He loved it. So we took a couple of pictures, and there was a blog post with him holding the puck.
Nice.
Yeah, so I thought that. I thought, wow, that was a good idea. I wish I had thought of that. You know, his dad and all, his proud dad, didn't think of it. But
really?
Thankfully, someone else did. So, yeah.
I'm shocked that you didn't think, you didn't think to grab the puck, you mean?
Right, yeah, I didn't think to grab the puck.
Huh.
Yeah, that really wasn't a thing when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah, the only thing you got was the trophies or whatever, but, and I still have some of those that are pretty funny from when I was a kid. But yeah, never, the puck wasn't really a thing when I was a kid.
I don't know if I have my first goal. I have the last hit I ever got in North America for baseball. It was a home run, so I have that ball.
Oh, really?
Because it was, yeah, and it was in
the
playoffs.
But you're older at that point, right?
Oh, I was way too old to keep the ball, but it was kind of a joke. But what had happened was my wife, who wasn't my wife yet at the time, she was still in Germany, and had never seen me play, and I said to her, okay, I'm going to the playoffs tonight. We were the complete underdog. We were like the last place team. I said, but I'm going to hit one out tonight. And I did. I actually hit one out, so I gave her the ball.
Cool.
There you go. But I was
And that's how you won her over.
I'm just doing the math. I think I was like, I was in my 30s. So it wasn't quite the cute story that Jack has.
Right. But chicks love the long ball, right? Like, that's a thing.
Chicks dig the long ball. Yeah. Wow.
So, yeah, it really worked for you. There wasn't a whole courting process. There was just a single home run.
Yeah, that may or may not have happened. Yeah, I do have the ball, though. And I did write on it with, you know, a felt pen. So that's hard to dispute.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, that's great. Congratulations to Jack. So,
And where can people find your stuff, Alan?
Well, I'm going to post a portrait of myself with my home run ball on alanatridge.com.
Great.
And the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find everything you want to know about this and, well, everything. That's what I meant by everything. So,
before you sign off, but what about, you know, if you put that ball up on Amazon, someone could click through our site and...
I think that'd be more of an eBay scenario, and there'd be a reserve bid.
Okay, sorry. I'm confusing things.
Yeah. Just on the internet, Grandpa. Yeah. We'll see how that goes. Now that I've locked her down with the marriage, I don't really need that ball anymore.
Right.
So there you go. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.